like him, the Bible says. We are one with him, as the Bible says. We are just like Jesus. In our spirits, we are just like him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And we can give him praise and glory and honor in all we do. And we thank you and give thanks to you. In Jesus' name, you can be seated. Get ready for tithes and offerings today. I want to read this scripture. If you need an envelope, raise your hand. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, says this. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So he gives us richly and supplies seed to the sower. He supplies seed so we can sow into his kingdom. And he gives bread for food. He supplies our daily needs, and he supplies and multiplies the seed you have sown and increases the fruits of our righteousness. So everything we sow into his kingdom, he says that he multiplies and increases the seed we have sown. So we can believe God for that he increases and multiplies seed for the sower and the seed we have sown. So Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that this seed and tithes and offerings that are sown are multiplied and increased back to the giver and the sower in Jesus' name. And we thank you for all your increase in our lives. Amen. Amen. You can just give it to Sister. Thank you. Thank you. So we are going to go into speaking God's words and getting God's results tonight. You know, and we have, you know, God's word means everything to us in our lives, and it and everything that we have for life and godliness is in his word here. And last week, as I was sharing, that the men and women who have gone out and even given their lives so that this word can be printed and be into our homes, that we can read it every day and take advantage of what God has for us, that we shouldn't take this world lightly and just leave it on the shelf. We should be reading it day by day and living life differently because of God's word. And some of the things, I shared with you about last week about William Tyndale, about him, he was caught and killed for heresy just for printing the Bible into English because it was not meant, the religious leaders of the day thought it wasn't meant for people, normal people, to be reading the Word of God. They just wanted the clergy to tell you what the Bible said, and then you live like we tell you to. But in my research, I reached out about, I knew that all the disciples, that every one of them had died a martyr's death, except for John. But this is the way that all the early church leaders, how they went and met their eternal reward. James, John's brother, was beheaded. James, Jesus' half-brother, who wrote the book of James in the Bible, he was stoned to death. Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, they drug him to death behind horses, and they actually dragged him to pieces, the account said. Philip, Andrew, Jude, Bartholomew, and Peter were all crucified. And Peter even asked as his last request, and they granted it, to be crucified upside down because he didn't want to be his death to resemble Jesus' death in any way. Thomas, they impaled him on spears and then threw him into a fiery furnace. Paul was beheaded, as well as Matthew and Matthias, who was Judas' replacement. And historians believe that Luke was hung. So John was the only one that died of old age of natural causes, because they couldn't kill him. He was so full of the power of God that they tried to boil him in oil, as I've told you before. They tried to poison him, and nothing could kill him. So they stuck him on the island of Patmos and expected him to die of starvation, and even as an old man, and he survived, and he wrote the book of John, Revelation while he was on the book of Patmos. And they let him off the island, and he returned to Ephesus and died around 98 A.D. So everyone of the early church disciples and leaders in the church died, and sometimes horrible deaths, because they believed on Jesus. They believed he was the Messiah, and believed in so much in the Word of God, the good news that Jesus came to free us from our sins and pay the penalty for our sins and give us his righteousness, that they went to their deaths believing that what they taught was true. So we believe in this Word, and we should be believing in this Word and speaking God's Word daily. In Deuteronomy 18:18 says this, and I'll just read it: I will rise up a prophet from among the countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak. God puts his words in our mouths for us to speak. We are actually the prophet over our own life. What we speak over our lives will come to pass. And what you speak, declare, and confess, and prophesy over your own life is what will come to pass. You can turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 19, and we'll read this together. John chapter 5, or I'll read it, and we can look at it together. John chapter 5, verse 19 says this. And Jesus is speaking to the disciples here, and then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So he's saying here, whatever he sees the Father do, he does. Jesus did only what the Spirit of God told him to do. Jesus said only what the Spirit of God told him to say. Could that be your life, only doing and saying what the Spirit of God tells you? Well, of course it can. In John chapter 12, turn over just a few pages to John chapter 12, verse 49 and 50 here, Jesus is speaking again, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So he's saying he only says what the Father tells him to say, what the Spirit of God tells him to say. And then he speaks words of life to people. And whenever he does speak, he's speaking words of life. And then in John chapter 14, verse 10 says this. John chapter 14, verse 10, flip over a page. And Jesus is speaking again. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So he whatever he says to say, Jesus says, and whatever the Spirit of God says to do, he was doing. And he tells us that if we'll do that, that we'll do even greater works than him, because we're doing what God's telling us to do and saying what God tells us to say. And then whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, he's going to do for us. And Mark chapter 11, this is brought out in Mark chapter 11. So turn over to Mark. And start in verse 22 here. And Jesus is speaking again here. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. So God wants us, that was an important enough to add in here, that he wants us to be forgiving to others and walk into love. But whatever we ask in the name of Jesus is going to be done for us. So we can have whatever we say, good or bad, in our lives, life or death, blessing or cursing. You have what you say, you have what you've been saying in your life. What are you saying now determines your future. If you are saying the wrong things and don't change what you're saying, your future could be worse instead of better. This year will be just like last year, and you will go through the same things you did last year, and next year will be the same as this year if we don't change what we're saying. So Jesus is our example here. He only did what he saw the Father do, and he only said what the Father said. We on the other hand, we're doing what we want to do, and we're saying what we want to say. We react to situations and circumstances all day long, and many times we don't act or react positively. We let our emotions lead us instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead us. And we can learn to consistently do and say what the Spirit of God would have us do and say. We can train ourselves to do that. We can learn. Then we'll be just like him, calling those things which do not exist as though they are. And that's Romans 4:17. And we should be thinking God's thoughts and speaking his words, because the principle of speaking things into being works for everyone. It will work for you or it will work against you, but it does work. If you want things and circumstances to change in your life for the better, say only what you would like to come to pass. Simple but not easy, of course. Our natural tendency is to focus on a problem. And when we are focusing on a problem, we're not focusing on the answer. The problem is magnified in our life and not the answer, which is in God's Word. We need to continually feed our spirits with the Word of God. God's Word feeds our faith and renews our minds. And this is so important, because when we get under pressure, what is in our hearts will come out of our mouths. Words are important, and our words are powerful. Our first word spoken under pressure will begin to set things in motion, good or bad. That's why we need to be sure of our words before we speak. The Bible does say slow to speak, slow to anger, slow to wrath. It wants us to be slow to speak so that we can be aware of what we're going to say before we say it. So that's why we need to be sure of our words and speak only what the Spirit of God would have us say into a situation. God puts no limits on Mark 11:24. And I'll read it again. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. God put no limit on that, Mark 11:24, except that it line up with God's Word, that it be something in accordance with God's Word. And we should never speak out of doubt or fear, but only faith. Speak in faith and keep on speaking in faith. I'm going to hold my finger there in Mark and turn to John 15:7 and read that. John 15:7. I wanted us to turn there so we could look at it together. When we look at it and get it in our mind's eye, it's easier, gets down into our spirit. John 15:7 says, and Jesus is speaking again here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Abide means that we're to be close to him, that we should stay in his presence. So when we're abiding in him, God in his presence, and we're abiding in his word, we're keeping his word close to us, in our eyes, in our ears, and in our hearts, and coming out of our mouths, we can ask what we desire, and it shall be done to us. When we're staying close to God, abiding in him, and abiding in his word, then we're not going to be saying things in unbelief and in fear. We're gonna operate and speak in faith and confidence and be in his word. When we have a problem, our natural mind wants to think about and talk about it. And when trouble comes, don't say anything until you have God's word to say on the matter. I mean, don't be quick to speak or say something just because we feel like we have to say something. Whenever there's a problem, be slow to speak about it, but think about what you're going to say and ask God what we should say. When trouble comes, don't say anything just right off the top of your head. Wait until the Holy Spirit tells you what to say. Because Jesus, who is our example, that's what he did. He only did what the Father said do, and he only said what the Father said to say. So don't speak about your problems. Speak to your problems. In Mark 11:23 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever you say." So what if your situation seems hopeless? What if it doesn't seem like it's going away? What if it seems like it's here to stay and you can't do anything about it? Well, we need to stand our ground on God's word and keep on speaking to the problem. Whenever I speak to that mountain, that problem, I believe that it's going to be cast out of my life. We need to trust him to make things right and to restore all that was lost in our lives, because that's what his word says. He will restore. God will deliver you because of the finished work that Jesus has already done on the cross. And fear has no place in your life, and fear needs to be cast out. Fear of sickness or disease or any other thing that can hurt you, that fear needs to go. Talking about it strengthens that thing's power over you to hurt you. Now, we don't deny that there something might exist, but we just deny its power to hurt you. Talking about it produces fear, which is faith in the power of that thing to hurt you, and it attracts the law of sin and death in your life. Job said, "That which I greatly feared most has come upon me." So what Job feared most actually came upon his life, and it wasn't because God was punishing him. The devil came into his life because of that fear, that the open door of fear and his confession of unbelief that he let operate into his life. So our confession, what we are saying, needs to line up with God's word. Jesus is the high priest of our confession, it says in the Bible. He is the high priest of our confession. So as our high priest, he backs our words when we and whatever we're saying, especially when we're saying the same thing that he says in his word, he backs our words. And the Holy Spirit goes into action and confirms those words into our lives. Isaiah 55:11, "My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall go and accomplish the thing I sent it to do." And that goes true. When we are speaking God's word, it goes forth and it accomplishes the thing that we're sending it to do. In John 14, we read earlier, "Now the Father gives me the words and the Holy Spirit does the work." And he starts working when we start saying. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And it gives God pleasure to see us blessed. It gives him pleasure. So what are you believing for in 2015? What God has provided in his word for you by grace must be possessed by faith. Faith in God, faith in God's word. We need to find a scripture for what we're believing God for, and every day and read and meditate on that scripture. Every day confess and speak that word out over your situation. Sometimes it seems hard, or it seems like there's a lot for us to do, a lot we should be praying about, a lot that there is in the things of God to operate in the kingdom of God, and there is. But it all comes down to, how badly do you want it? How badly do you want things to change? Am I willing to do what is necessary to make things right in my life? So it all comes down to that. How bad do you want things to change? I ask you at the beginning of the year to read the book of Genesis with me, that we're reading a chapter a day. Five chapters a week. That gives you 7 days to read five chapters. And we started in Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to read the book of Genesis through together. So you don't have to limit yourself to just your Genesis chapter, and you shouldn't. You should read other scriptures as well and be confessing and meditating on those scriptures that you need to be meditating on, especially over situations in your life. If there's sickness or lack or disease or anything like that that we need to be focusing on and confessing and telling those mountains to be removed out of our life. And And it's a process, because when we, the first time we say it, the word is there, but the faith may not be there. But the more you say it, the more you believe it, the more it gets in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, and it changes. It actually changes. And we were learning, Darlene and I were watching the Kenneth Copeland program where Dr. Carolyn Leaf was on. Have you seen, did you see that, Dr. Carolyn Leaf? And so you heard her say that we need to be confessing that word every day, and then it gets that word into our minds. And that every day, it was just so cool that how she was explaining it, that it renews the mind. It really, literally renews the mind and heals it and brings life to the thoughts and the memories inside of our mind, instead of those negative thoughts. Building on the negative thoughts deteriorates the mind, but building on the positive thoughts, the Word of God, will build up our mind. So that was just really cool. So that's what we should be doing every day with God's Word. So read your chapter every day, and we should be finishing up with chapter 20 this weekend, because we've gotten to chapter 20. But don't limit yourself to that, as for sure. And we want to come back Wednesday night at 6:30, that we are praying. We're in the Word and we're praying. We've got our prayer board up here that Darlene and the youth worked on, and it looks really awesome up here. It's cool. But prayer requests will go up there, and as we're praying in agreement with your prayers on that prayer board, and it shall come to pass. Whatever you're praying and believing God for, it's going to come to pass, because God's already going to work in those areas that we're already praying for. So we have a word from the Lord, and then we're praying specifically whatever God has put on our heart for something specific, and we're praying in agreement, and we're getting it done, and things are going to work in the Spirit, and God's moving in our life, in our behalf, in our church. So we're moving things in the Spirit realm on Wednesday nights. So come and be a part of that and be in agreement with us for that. And then next Saturday evening at 7 o'clock is the first Saturday, first service of the month, and we're going to have communion together and take communion together next Saturday. And then remember Saturday the 14th, just like our flyer, that we're going to have church at 6:30 on that 14th and have our Valentine's banquet. And take a flyer, invite a friend, invite a family member, invite someone who needs to be here, and we're going to have fun. It's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be cool. If you have questions, call Sister Darlene at her phone number on the flyer, and it's going to be cool. It's going to be awesome. I hope we didn't go long, but I hope you learned something tonight. I hope it ministered to your hearts and your spirits, and that you'll go out and do what God has called you to do. So, Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for each and every one of them. We love each and every one of them and appreciate them greatly. That no one here is insignificant. Everybody here, their purpose, their plan, and their destiny for their life is important to us as it's important to you, and we want to help everyone do all that you've called them to do. And we thank you, and we declare peace and health and prosperity over this congregation, over everybody that's here and everybody that's not here as they travel, that they're traveling under safety and the protection of their angels. And we thank you for those that are not here because they weren't feeling good today, that your healing is ministering into their bodies, that every cell is restored back to health, and sickness and disease is driven out of their bodies, because it shall not attach themselves to them and it shall not touch them. And we pray peace and wholeness and blessing to every mind and spirit that's here, that they just leave in peace and leave in the presence of God, knowing that you love them and care for them, and your well-being is going in front of them this week on their behalf. And we just give thanks and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.